before I came to All Saints, I was living in Washington, D.C. Some of you may have heard that before. And I was serving at a church there. And yesterday, there was a funeral for one of the members that was near and dear to my heart. Her name was Flossie. And I had never met anybody named Flossie before. And when she was little, her name was, well, her name still is Florence, but somebody called her Flossie when she was little, and that name stuck. So she was called Flossie her whole life. And Flossie was, she was special, mainly because she was the volunteer parish administrator at the church for about 20 years, and she did everything. And we realized, or I shouldn't say we, they realized she did everything when she went into the hospital in December after she was diagnosed with cancer. So she had done the altering. She changed the letters on the sign out front. She put the bulletins over in the church every Sunday. She did things nobody realized until she wasn't there anymore. And Flossie was raised in the church. Her dad was a pastor. Her mom was the organist. And I remember one time we went to a funeral of a church member. I drove Flossie there, and she told me that this guy and her had been friends when they were teenagers, and his mom really, really wanted them to get married. And they went on a date, and she just said it was all awkward, all strange. And that's when she realized, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to get married. I said, oh, Flossie, you didn't want to get married. Why are you not? Why not? She said, you know, I just wanted to serve Jesus. Okay. So that was her life, serving the Lord. And she loved it. And I think about Flossie because there are those moments when we go through these times where someone we know is getting ready to die. And we've had death here recently in our congregation, parents and grandparents, and it's not easy at all. But I thought about Flossie, especially during this reading, because while she was in hospice, there was a pastor in the church that was sending out emails to all of us updating how she's doing. And she would have smiles on her face someday, and she would talk about she's feeling all right, but she was just ready to go see Jesus. She was so excited about it. And then other days, maybe it was more painful. She wasn't talking quite as much. But she would still talk about how ready she was. And I was a big fan of Flossie. Mainly she laughed at all my jokes. So that's one reason why I really like Flossie. But I would call every so often. I had to call back to D.C. because I've been working on my ordination in D.C., so I had to get a few calls going back to that church. And I remember I'd always call, and she would be the one picking up the phone, and we'd chat about life, and I'd tell her about getting closer to being a pastor, and she was very happy. And so I couldn't call her while she was in the hospital, so I made a little video. God bless technology. I made a little video, and I basically said, hey, Flossie, how are you? I just wanted to say hello and let you know I'm going to get ordained. It's coming up in April, and I'm so happy. And then I had a little song that I sang for her, and then just said goodbye. And even when I was kind of making it, I thought, oh, my goodness, like this, I don't get to hear back, but this is the last time I'm going to communicate. And a friend of mine went to visit her, and he showed her the video, and he said, he told me later that he was kind of tearing up a bit, just kind of watching that her watch it. And after it was over, he shut it off, and she looked at him, and she said, you know, Vicar Ben, why are you crying? What are you crying for? And he's like, oh, I don't know, Flossie, I just, you know. She said, well, you should be happy. Katie's going to get ordained. Goodness. You know, here she is in this hospice, in this room, in this pain, and her joy is so great. And it's because of that faith that she has in Jesus. And then when I read this text, the reason I thought about this so much was because it was like Flossie was giving us permission to be ready for her death. And Jesus, in this text, is kind of doing the same thing, getting us ready. And for the past few weeks, last week in Sunday sermon, where she was kind of going through where we are in the text and all of the context that happens around it, for the last three Sundays, we've kind of been having these readings where we're getting ready for the death of Jesus. And a few weeks ago, Jesus was talking about how he was turning over tables in the temple, and he basically says, this temple will fall and be raised up in 3 days. And he was talking about himself being raised up. And then last week, it was Jesus had met with Nicodemus, and they kind of were talking about things, and he basically says, you know, the reason that I am here, the reason that God has sent Jesus to us is that we might have life through him, that our lives may be glorified along with the life of Jesus. And then this week, I read this and I thought, oh goodness, everybody must not want to hear what he's saying. Like, none of us wanted to hear Flossie talk about her dying, right? We don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear Jesus in the middle of his life saying, I'm going to have to die. I mean, he was a young man. That is not expected in the middle of someone's life. And he doesn't say it like, okay, I just have to die, that's it. No, no, no. He uses this great imagery of a seed that needs to be planted. Now, what happens to a seed when you plant it? It grows up and it bears fruit. So Jesus lets us know why it needs to go ground. Because if you just have a seed out in the air, it does nothing. It might shrivel up. And it's of no use at all. But this seed that goes into the ground and it comes up into something new can then create an explosion of goodness. Can create so many good things. And it seemed like people didn't want to hear him say this because of how he did say that his soul was a little troubled, right? He does say, my soul is a little troubled. But what am I supposed to do? Pray to God and say, God, no, no, don't let me do this. No, no, I don't want to die. No, no. But he doesn't. He goes into it with the faith that God will be the provider, that God will be the one who will change that seed into fruit. And we talk, too, about how this world, we talk a lot about this world in these Gospels. Jesus talks about this world. So he says that if you love your life in this world, you will lose it. Now, when Jesus says this world, that's not the world in which God calls us into. This world is the selfishness, is the idolatry. This world consists of people who are only in it for themselves. But Jesus is saying, if you are so concerned about that, then you are going to lose your life. But on the other hand, if you hate your life in this world, hate can also be translated as reject. So if you reject your life in this world, the life of selfishness, the life of it's all about me, then you will gain new life. And we are called into this. that new life by being part of a community. It is very difficult to be part of community as an individual. And there are people who do it. You see people in community sometimes who try to be all about them. Sometimes it's us that are doing it. Sometimes we try to make it about ourselves. But it's difficult to be in a community and be all by yourself. I love, too, also, in the psalm, when I read the psalm, there's the part where it says, "Create in me a new heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." And that's not an easy thing to ask God to do. Because if this is creating a new heart, it means that we had an old one that needed to change. And we are asking God in order to change that heart. We need to create a new spirit within us. And those are things that we cry out to God for help with. So God has given us this new covenant. As the reading Jeremiah said, we're getting a new contract, a new way of seeing a relationship with God, and that is through Jesus. And Jesus says in the text again, in this time, "You are going to be my followers. And you will be, and those who follow me will follow the way that God has given us. And God will know you because you are." And what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? To reject this world of selfishness? To reject the fact that it's all about us? And to walk in the faith that Christ has shown us. And so I think about that when I think of Flossie. I think about all the people that I know too that have this great faith, that are walking as followers of Christ, that are not afraid. And sometimes, hopefully, I am that person for others, just like you could be that person for others. And we can all be in this together as followers of Christ. Amen.